Welcome, everyone, to The Warp Drive. I am your host, Zach, and I'm joined today with some awesome guests to discuss an awesome topic. Who do we got? We got Ashley. We got Libby.
Hello.
And we got Tristan of Lick Boy fame. I'm pretty sure the last time that you were on The Warp Drive, I introduced you the exact same way. It was
like, yeah, probably.
Of Lick Boy on YouTube.
Lick Boy Tristan,
yeah. But today, it's a very special episode because today we'll be discussing probably, I think I can speak for all of us, one of the best television shows of all time, Avatar The Last Airbender. And for those who can't see, if you're listening to the audio version, I'm holding up my coveted DVD box set of every season of Avatar, all three books in three separate cases. It's beautiful. Tristan, you own this as well, don't you?
I own older versions. I can grab them.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah. Mine's better, so it's okay.
Yeah, yours is newer.
But we all have our separate items, our tokens of our love for the show. You know, we got Tristan and Ashley with, we got the Fire Nation shirt. We have Appas all over the place. So we're big fans, right? We're big fans. When was the first time each of us have been exposed to the show or watched it for the first time? I know for myself, I was a big Nickelodeon kid when I was little. The shows were kind of happening and getting really popular when I was really young, like lower elementary. So I don't know if I remember watching them like routinely with every given episode, but I do remember my older brother Ben really being into it when they were coming out and me kind of watching it through him in a way, because it's like I would just follow him around and do whatever he's doing. So that was kind of my first exposure, but I didn't really give it a full effort to watch the whole show and understand everything until a couple of years ago. I was watching it with Ashley for the first time. I think it was like the beginning of high school. I fell in love, and we watched Avatar. We watched Korra right after, which is, you know, a very different show, but I love Korra just as much. I think I might be the newest fan out of all four of us. Let's go through my box on my screen. Tristan, what's your experience with Avatar?
So it's a funny story. Do any of you remember the show All That on Nickelodeon?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so Jack DeSana, who plays Sokka, I'm going to take these off for a second. He was on All That, and there was a trailer on Nickelodeon for this new show that he was in called Avatar. Okay. And so I credit him to being the reason that I watched Avatar in the first place.
Wow.
And I watched when it first premiered, and I saw every episode live, except one. There was... I missed Avatar Day in season 2. I didn't even know that episode existed until I owned it. But I've been watching since the first day, and it's been 15 years, and it's still like my favorite show of all time. So.
But you got into it solely for Sokka.
For Sokka. Yep. Yeah.
Was it like a weird feeling when like you hear his voice and it's like, oh my God, it's the guy from All That.
It's weird. It's always weird when there are different voice actors that I recognize from something else, like Dante Bosco is Zuko, and he's also Rufio in Hook, and he sounds exactly the same.
Weird. Yeah. I would never have placed that.
Admiral Zhao plays Lucius Malfoy in the Harry Potter movies, which is blows my mind every time I think about it. But yeah, so it was kind of weird, but it's still cool.
I think it's a really, really fun to find, all-star actors and actresses in voice acting roles. Mm-hmm. Cause like sometimes they're easy to find and place and like you immediately recognize the voice, and other times you're like really, really surprised. I know probably like one of my favorite voice acting, actors in a movie that was also I've also seen in a ton of live action stuff was Christian Bale and Howl's Moving Castle. I think he's perfect in that role. And it's only, even though it's animated, even though the character looks, you know, obviously nothing like Christian Bale in real life. They didn't base it off of him or anything like that. It feels like Christian Bale because it's just, he does such a great job. So yeah. It's cool that you got into it because of that one actor. Mm-hmm. And I'm amazed that Avatar, it's an all-star cast. We got so many cool people.
And they had even more like A-list celebrities than Korra too. So it was crazy.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you, Tristan. Moving down through the box, Libby, what's your Avatar experience?
Zach, it's actually pretty similar to yours. Like, I remember when it was on TV and I'd kind of watch it, but it wasn't linear at all. It was just something I enjoyed as a kid because my brother liked it too. Mm-hmm. We'd play the little games on Nickelodeon.com a lot.
Nice, nice. Some games we played.
And so the first time I watched it all the way through was like junior year of high school or something, because I borrowed Tristan's DVDs, and yeah, that was my first time like watching it all in a row, and I was amazed. I was like, wow, this is so good. But I'm just glad that like I'm not the only one here who didn't watch it from the very beginning. Tristan, that's cool. I like that, even though it took a while, like I still like really got into it, and it still like, it's not like, oh, you're not as much of a fan because you didn't get into it right away. Like everyone can enjoy it, and it's awesome, and now it's on Netflix for
everyone to watch,
to enjoy.
Yeah Do the nick.com games translate very well with the TV show in any way?
They're just fun little games.
Is there hidden lore in the games, you know? Is it like the lost episodes of Avatar are these platforming flash player games on nick.com?
Not at all, no.
Damn, that would have been awesome. That would have been before its time, because now you get like huge games like, you know, Fortnite, who are doing like legitimate concerts in their games. Oh. It's like, what?
Did you see Fortnite release the trailer for Christopher Nolan's Tenet last night?
No, it's like, I didn't even know Tenet was a thing until I saw like a Fortnite update. And I was like, what? This is how I'm finding out about Nolan movies now, is Fortnite? It's ridiculous. I was floored. Well, thank you, Libby. That's a great story. I as you were speaking, I had a flashbulb memory. You had the nick.com games. I had a similar experience that I just suddenly remembered, the Nick Seen It board game. Any of you guys play this?
Yeah.
That came out right, I think it might have been right after Avatar finished, or like maybe even like just before it finished, because I swear every single question was Avatar or Fairly Odd Parents, and like both of those are like, you know, like they're connected perfectly with like, oh, these came out at the same time, I associate them together. I think that might have been my first experience, now that I think of it. But very fun. Ashley, you're finishing off the box. What's your experience with Avatar?
I think my power went out. My parents are doing something.
Do you have a lamp?
I have a phone.
Wow. Perfect timing.
I know.
For those of you who keep up with our channel, the last time Ashley was on the show, we had a flood in her room. So Ashley is cursed on the warp drive.
I really am. Hold on. Hopefully this will work. I'm just needing my flashback.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sweet. There. Looks good.
Okay. So my experience was very similar to Zach and Libby. I wasn't much of a Nick kid growing up, and plus my parents were very strict. So we couldn't watch anything that was like witchcraft related, and this included Avatar. So, but I recorded them like the DVR thing that you get with cable, you know? So I recorded them in secret and would watch them late at night, but they weren't linear. Like I think it was during the time they were doing reruns, like after it had just finished. So I had to kind of piece it together out of order. And then when we got like Amazon, we were able to watch it because they have all of the seasons on there. So yeah. That's basically it.
I think that's a great story. I think the one thing that I like to call us cable kids, because I feel like our generation is like almost like universally relating in the fact that we had to sneak around the TV guide and like watch shows only at certain times. And it was like, I know when I was in upper L, like junior high, anytime I got home from school right away and I would go on to Comcast On Demand and watch as much Family Guy as I could before any of my parents came home. And that was my daily routine. So I totally relate with you there, Ashley. That's great. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Well, thank you everyone for telling your stories, your personal traumas or happy memories with Avatar. You never know. You never know. But without further ado, let's just jump into the show. Does that sound fun? Do you guys want to do it?
Yeah.
Great. So I thought we could look at this book by book, because obviously the Avatar show is three seasons. Every book is pretty clearly defined with new characters coming along the way, characters dropping off, some characters you hate, some you love. I know I'm in the boat where I have several characters that I despise to see on the screen. So I think there might be no better way than to jump into book one, kind of talk the way through it, what you like about it. So characters, certain episodes, maybe if you want to get into the nitty gritty, like the storytelling, the whole show is, I believe the whole show is 2D drawn animation. Tristan, is that correct? Okay.
So, yeah, there's a little CG toward the end, but mostly 2D. Sure. Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of artistry in like every single episode. So I think there's definitely a lot to talk about. So I guess we could just go through the box again, the same kind of thing. I'm gonna pull out my DVDs to like as service reference.
Yeah, I'm gonna look at the episode titles because that'll help me for sure.
The Netflix list.
Do I see the episodes? Oh, I don't. Okay, I'll pull up the Netflix list. That'll be helpful as well. But here, I'll start. So I was telling these people, Ashley, before we started the episode that I watched book one right when it came out on Netflix last week. I don't know when this episode's coming out. This might be coming out a couple weeks after Netflix is released. So for those listening and watching, when it came out on Netflix, I started watching book one. And I think book one is great. And I love the pilot episode. I think it's really funny. I think it's really interesting. And for me, Aang is probably like my favorite character. And I think it introduces Aang really well. Because you have like this little kid who's really like funny, energetic, optimistic. There's not like really anything melodramatic about him at all. He's just a kid. And you don't know anything about him. And it's like right at the beginning. And even though there's this like huge majesty of like a frozen ball and what is this flying cow doing here? And it's like this crazy thing. Appa, who is Appa? You don't know. And it's like the perfect little like bite-sized mystery. And Aang is kind of revealing things throughout that episode and we learn things. And it's like for me, it's like the perfect beginning because they have the stakes high too, because the Fire Nation is introduced right away. We, thanks to Katara's legendary introduction to every episode, we have like the complete history of the world. So from a storytelling standpoint, I think it opens up really well. When you get through the season, I think there's some ups and downs. I know my favorite episodes are whenever they go to an air temple. I always look forward to those because it's so interesting that the air temples are really unique from each other. And like some of them are like, even though they're all obviously wiped out, there's no air nomads, no air monks left. Some of them have sort of like a life to it, like an energy to it. The first one they go to obviously is the Southern Air Temple, and that's where we see like the horrifying image of all the skulls and skeletons of like the Fire Nation troops and the air monks, and you have a Monk Chiazzo's statue, and I just love going to the air temples because the air monks are my favorite part of the show. I love the style of it, the culture. We don't really know too much about them, but it's still pretty interesting. I guess that's off rip. That's kind of like what I was loving about the show right away. So let's just open it up. Anybody can speak. What about the beginning of book one and book one itself? Do you like typically? Tristan, why don't you start?
Yeah, I like it This is the most nostalgic season for me because obviously this is what I watched first. This is the youngest I was when I watched it. But it's very much, it's a great setup season for the rest of it. It doesn't get too bogged down in like the main story like books 2 and 3 do. Mm-hmm. You get little snips of that in like the storm or the blue spirit or something. But I don't know, it's just a fun first season setup kid show. Mm-hmm. When I get people to watch it, I say like, get through the first few episodes, because the first two episodes are very much like, this is a Nickelodeon show. There's like snot jokes and stuff. Yeah. It's like, yeah, this is a kid's show, but just get through it. And then, but I still like it. There, people say that their least favorite episodes are in this. Like, everybody trashes on The Great Divide as like the worst episode of the series, but I still love it. I don't think there is a bad episode to me. I think every episode is really good in its own way, but I love the first season, even though it's not, it doesn't meet like the story requirements of the next two. It still has, maybe it's for nostalgic reasons, but it's got that like special place in my heart.
Very good, very good. Libby, what do you like about book one?
I like that it kind of slowly gets you into, like, the stakes of the show. Like, you know, books 2 and 3 are so much more high stakes. We're like, oh my gosh, like, he has to defeat Fire Lord Ozai to, like, save the entire world. But, like, the first season's like, all right, we have to go to the North Pole. We have to, like, you've got to learn bending. Like,
we have to find Santa.
Look at all this fun stuff. Yeah, exactly. But it's like, they're just kind of going on like little adventures along the way. Like, it's not like super time sensitive. They're just like, all right, we have a goal, but like, we're also going to help people and learn more about the world on the way, because it's kind of the world building to it. Like, I love that we meet the Warriors of Kyoshi in episode 4. Like, it's so quick that we get like new characters, but also it's like, oh, we're making friends with people around the world. But it's like, ooh, we'll come back to that later, you know? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's super fun. I love, I love the finale of the season. I love anything in between. I love the Blue Spear. That's probably one of my favorite episodes.
No, it's good. It's great. I agree. I really like the finale, and I like how it sort of picks up the energy slowly. You know, it's like you don't really know too much about the characters quite yet, and like they don't really understand like the larger goal. It's not until Aang goes to the fire, until he goes to the fire temple, was that what you would call it, where he goes to talk to Avatar Roku?
Oh yeah, yeah.
That they really understand like the stakes of like, mm-hmm. Okay, the comet is coming back. There's a time limit now, so that's kind of a high stake. Mm-hmm. Ashley, what do you like about book one?
I really like how, like Tristan said, that it sets up like kind of the tone for the show, how it's very childlike and whimsical, and then you get more serious, and it finds a good balance between that. I like the ability to balance a childish sense of wonder about the world with like high stakes, you know? And I also like it because it sets up a good parallel between Zuko and Aang's arc, especially with the storm. And even the first episode, Zuko's there. We don't have to wait, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think just the relationship between the three main characters in this season is just really fun to watch. And then it makes it, for some reason, that makes it easier for Toph to come in, and then later Zuko, you know, because they already have such a well-balanced, like, camaraderie, you know?
Team Avatar.
And I like that. Yeah, Team Avatar.
Very good, very good. Yeah, to piggyback off of that, I love that they introduced Zuko right away. Oh, you got power back. Yay.
I do.
And I love how Zuko's goal to catch the Avatar and to return home, not be in exile anymore, and Aang's goal, like, contradict. Like, it shows that he's a good, like, simple antagonist. And, like, and the fact that we get, like, equal screen time makes it really seem important that both of their goals matter. It's not like, it's not just good guy versus bad guy. It's like two teenagers who both have like, I just dropped my egg, my special stress egg. Two teenagers who have like, have really strong motives and like hopes, but they can't help each other yet. They have to fight each other. They have to work against each other. And I love that. I love anytime Zuko and Iroh are on screen in book one, it's not just bad guys. It's like it's a perfect familial relationship that's kind of being explored there, which is something we don't really see in Team Avatar, because they're all, for like Katara and Sokka are brother and sister, obviously, but like their relationship's pretty good. But Zuko and Iroh have like a really elastic like dynamic between them, you know, have like old and young and like tradition and like really angst. I just love them both. I love them both.
Be on the lookout this Halloween. Me and Will Dosa are going to be Zuko and Iroh.
That's perfect. I love it.
I love it.
We've planned this for like 3 years and we're finally going to do it. So.
Don't tell me who's who. I want to in anticipation to like try to figure it out. but to cap off my idea there, I can't remember the episode's names. Tristan, you will have to help me out. When Iroh is in the sauna and he gets captured by Earth Kingdom soldiers.
Yeah, that's it's the Spirit World episode when Aang goes to the Spirit World.
Right,
yeah,
right.
It's the Winter Solstice Part One.
It's such a good episode for me because we had just seen what the Earth Kingdom is like. The Earth Kingdom's huge, and every city is like a different, totally different atmosphere. But we just saw Bumi's city. What do you remember?
Omashu.
We just saw Omashu. Omashu seems pleasant enough. They're very private. They're very protective. But like Bumi is in charge. We love Bumi. But then we're going into the very like the next episode or like the next episode, and now we see our other characters, Iroh and Zuko, being in danger from these Earth Kingdom people. So it's like the struggle of like, okay, who do we trust and who are we rooting for is already happening. Because it's like, by that point, you'd kind of do like Iroh and Zuko, even though they're bad guys, quote unquote. So I care about them and I don't want them to be captured, even if it's being captured by, you know, the good guys, quote unquote, the Earth Kingdom.
Right.
You also have a moment when Zuko's looking for Iroh and he sees like Appa fly by him and he chooses to still go for Uncle Iroh. So it shows Zuko does that twice. He does that in the storm too. When, it just shows some of his like humanity, which will come back.
He's not a rage machine.
Yeah. Like he's obsessed with the Avatar, but he'll still put the people that he cares about first.
Right.
What does everyone think about, is it Admiral Zhao in book one?
Admiral Zhao,
What do you think about Admiral Zhao? Is this his only book that he's in, or is he a character throughout?
He does come back in Korra for 2 seconds, but he's a great villain. I like him. He's not a villain with depth, but he's a villain that's like frightening enough to keep the stakes high.
He's a good barrier to Zuko's goals.
Yes.
Because I think Team Avatar has like the most uphill battle they could ask for. You know, like Aang is completely alone. He's the last airbender. Wow, roll credits. And like the Water Tribe is like totally in shambles. But the Fire Nation has all the power. So they need Zuko and Iroh to have like legitimate struggles. And so it's like, okay, they're in exile. They don't have any support. Oh, they have other Fire Nation generals and high-ranking officials who are trying to stop them, like, actively. So it's like, it's trying to show, like, both of these teams are underdogs. And even though the Fire Nation are, like, these dictators and super, super Nazis, they're like, these guys are also, like, kind of, like, at their wits' end. They're trying to figure out everything they can do. Libby, who are some of the characters in book one that you like the most?
I love Appa always. He's just I don't know, I'm trying to think of like book one specifically, but a lot of characters come back. Like I love Suki. I mean, she's only in it like once in book one, but I really like her. Mm-hmm. I mean, Princess Yue is cool too. Like
Princess Yue, the moon so, girl, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I love everything about like her. That was fun. No, I'm just kidding.
The iconic line of what's Zuko and Sokka's interaction?
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. Oh, that's rough, buddy.
iconic moments.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, this isn't a character, but I'm gonna talk about it anyway. One of my favorite like scenes, I guess, is when Admiral Zhao takes the moon spirit from the pond, and the like moon turns like red, and you hear like the like music. It just gets so creepy, and it just like gives you chills. Like, oh, I love that.
I was 9 years old, 9 or 10, when those episodes aired, and that was like, I've never experienced like TV like that. Well, minus the ending of the show.
Right. But
my mind was just blown for that whole like 3 or 4 episode arc. It was just
the most stressed you've ever been as a 10-year-old is watching the book one finale of
Avatar. Like that, and like Ko the Face Stealer, and when Princess Yue sacrifices herself at the end. It was just too much for me in the best way possible, but it was incredible. And those are still some of my favorite episodes.
Mm-hmm. It also sets up the it helps transition better into the more plot focused season 2 and season 3.
Mm-hmm. Very good point. Yeah, it's true. It's a great finale, and thank you, Ashley, for opening up. Why don't we transition into seasons 2 and 3, where the plot thickens, to say the least. Season 2 is a big season. We have lots of new details, new characters, new stories to be told. Obviously, we have the introduction of fan favorite Toph, who is like one of my favorite characters. I love Toph. We also get Ba Sing Se in season 2, right? Which is a huge arc. It's a big moment, is Ba Sing Se. So what are some things, anything that I just said, or just other things that you liked about season 2? Tristan, why don't you open it off?
My favorite thing about this show really starts in season 2, which is it's a kid's show that takes its audience seriously. Mm. I hate things like, the worst example is the Emoji Movie, where it's like, oh, these are kids, they're stupid, they'll love anything you put in front of them. But Avatar gives you, as a child, like serious issues to pay attention to and serious storytelling, and that really starts in book 2. I was texting she's my 12-year-old cousin who's watching this for the first time, and like Appa just got kidnapped, and I'm waiting for, you know, all the corruption and stuff and Ba Sing Se, and it's just, I just love the more serious angles of it. I'm waiting for Aang to die at the end and see what her reaction is to that.
I'm totally with you there. I think it does. I agree. It takes the audience seriously because it's a serious show. I like your analogy. It's the complete opposite of the Emoji Movie.
Yeah.
now I can put my hatred of the Emoji Movie into words. It's like, I hate it because it's the opposite of Avatar. So thank you for that, Tristan. I think specifically, I really love Ba Sing Se. Just kind of the environment is really interesting with all the walls. It's a huge city. You can like see it from the map going into the beginning of every episode. It's like the circle in a circle. I think it's really interesting. The corruption is really interesting. You get kind of the hints in book one of like, okay, Earth Kingdom is like, that's the biggest competitor with Fire Nation right now, of like, who is, Fire Nation's trying to rule the world, Earth Kingdom is trying to stop them. But like, what does that look like in the different parts of the world? And we see a little bit of that in Omashu with kind of like their privateness and fear of invaders, of outsiders. But when you get to Basingse, it's like, this is at the forefront of their minds. It's like, we could get invaded, so we need to be on high alert. And that's when you get, is it the, I forget the name of their super police.
The
Dai Li is like, almost like, it's kind of like a, it's just like, I want to say like SS, but I don't know if that's an overstatement. It's just like, it's so crazy that in like this super high stake of like war of the world, that like these super governments are like invading people's homes and kidnapping people like every single day. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Like Jet, who I just want to say, Jet is like, he's not terrible. He's not terrible. I just don't like him. I don't care about him. I think his first episode is like, oh, fun. Okay, well, that's done with that. We can move on. It's like, no, Jet's gonna come back multiple times. And does he die in book two? Is that true, or is that book
you
three?
Know? It's very unclear.
I talked to Ashley about this the other day. It's like, I'm pretty sure Jet dies, but no one seems to care. And it's like, if Team Avatar just leaves, why do they expect the audience to care too? It's like, I never cared about Jet, but at least try to like convince me, at least show that we like are sad that he's gone. It's like, no. Oh, well, you never know.
They're like, oh, he'll be okay. And Toph says, she's lying. And that's it.
Yeah.
They just walk away. Time to go find Appa.
It's implied, because Longshot like prepares an arrow. I think Longshot like puts him out of his misery, which is again pretty serious for a kid's show.
Yeah. It's very dark. It's very, very dark. Yeah. Yeah. Such a weird angle to attack. Like the whole freedom fighter where it's like, oh, we're anarchists. We're shaking up the status quo. It's like, oh, it's cool.
Yeah.
But then when we see like these characters brutally injured and like fatally injured and like putting them out, it's dark, to say the least. It's dark.
Yeah.
Libby, what are some parts of book two that you like? Some things that stick out?
I was just really happy to see like Uncle Iroh and Zuko like, you know, trying to live a better life. Because like Uncle Iroh, oh my gosh, he's so good at making tea, and he just like, you know, he's happy, but he wants like Zuko to be happy. And I just love how like he wasn't like forcefully just trying to like push him in the right direction. He's like, you can be good and like you can choose your own destiny. I really loved all of that. And that kind of connects with the episode we were just talking about, like with Jet, Lake Lao guy. I love that episode, and like Zuko kind of made like a really important choice there to like let Appa go. And I love how like, you know, we had all this moments leading up and Zuko's like, yeah, like I can like be better, I guess. I mean, it doesn't happen all right away. It was just one choice, but it definitely like was a push to like what we see later on.
Definitely. I love that.
Seems like all the characters like Appa. You know, everyone's sad when Appa is sad.
He is a pure boy. Pure boy.
He's like a giant dog, I feel like. I love Appa. I love Appa. Ashley, what are some things you enjoy from book two?
I definitely, like Libby was saying, I love Zuko's arc in this. Like, trying, like, see hit, like, the first, like, little hump of that getting better, you know, kind of thing. Before plummeting back down and then getting better again, you know? I also love the focus on Azula in this book too. I love Azula, so good. And it's so interesting to see how different she and Zuko are. Just even though they've come from the same family, it's like a parallel to Katara and Sokka versus like Zuko and Azula. It's very interesting and I really love it.
Yeah, Azula is a good rival to Zuko in a lot of ways. It's also, I like how, I think book two is also where we start seeing the different kinds of bending more. And it's kind of lore building of like, okay, we have the base, very basic rules of like, okay, so we have different kingdoms where the elements kind of gravitate towards each other. Some people can bend, some can't. It's kind of just something you're born with. But then we start seeing like, well, we got to get like to the nitty gritty of like, okay, if I can bend earth, like, what does that mean? Where does that end? And then especially with fire bending is so interesting with like lightning and redirecting lightning and sort of like, I love fire bending. It's such a cool concept because, and it makes me upset. Like whenever you watch this, oh, Ashley's power. Oh no.
They must be doing something like, I have no idea what they're doing right now. My parents like to do random projects on the weekend.
I don't know if I'm the only one that watches the Shyamalan Avatar every single day, but I do. It's a guilty pleasure. But it's so disappointing that like firebenders are so lame in that movie because it's like they can't create fire. They take fire from a lantern and like, ooh, little fire. It's like, that's not what firebending is.
No.
It's
like,
the best part of that movie is when Uncle Iroh does firebend the regular way. And one of the soldiers is like, oh my gosh, he's creating fire out of nothing. Like, wow, what a concept. Wow.
It also is like such a flaw on the part with the world building, because the reason why the Fire Nation was able to become an empire was because they were able to industrialize, because they can make energy out of nothing.
Yeah, firebenders are broken. That's why they're in charge. It's like, no, they need lighters. They're like X-Men, you know. It's like, oh, we need a lighter and shoot fire. Yeah, something like that.
Right.
Before we go to book three, because like book three is huge and the plot starts to get really convoluted, is there anything you may not enjoy from the show generally, or specifically like Jet, I don't like from the show.
Right.
But is there anything you think could have been different or could have been maybe explored more or better? I think it's especially relevant to talk about this because we're getting the live action remake of Avatar on Netflix soon, which it sounds like it's a lot of the same people from the original show. So I don't know. It sounds like it might not be a shot for shot remake, and I wouldn't want that anyway. It sounds like they're gonna do a lot of different things with it. So what are some things maybe before we wrap up the story that you would like to see different in a live action remake of the show?
That's
anybody.
I just want to see more, you know. I want to see more of the world. I want to see more interactions with the characters, you know. I love the quote-unquote filler episodes where you can explore their dynamic more, you know. I know it's touched on more in season three, but I love the relationship between Katara and Toph, and I would love to see more of that because we only get to see him first, so that little fraction of time in comparison to the whole plot. I love Zuko's arc, so I'd like to see more angst and redemption, you know. I love that, all that, just more.
Libby, what about you?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. There's nothing that I would be like, oh, I would enjoy if this wasn't in here. Like, I can't really say that. I can't think of anything that I wouldn't want to see or like that I could have done without, I guess. But yeah, like I even like Ashley said, I like all the filler stuff too, like Tales of Ba Sing Se, just like they're each little short stories. Like, I thought that was fun. I'm not gonna like skip that, even though it doesn't have anything to do with the plot. It's just fun to see like, oh, what's everyone up to on, like, you know, it's not like every single day they're like, we have to be getting stronger, we have so many things to do.
We
they're
must just like, train.
They're like, oh, we have a, let's just chill in Ba Sing Se. We're just chilling today.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. Very good. Tristan.
I think the show is perfect. And there's not much I would do to change it. Mm-hmm. A couple years ago, just for fun, I wrote what I thought would be like a decent screenplay for an adaptation for book one. And when I was sitting down and like thinking about maybe someday writing a second one, I just thought to myself, there's not really a way to do it that can give justice to the original thing. I think the original thing is like so pure and whole, and it's just, it is as it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I am excited for it. I do have hope for it because the creators are on board with it, because I've heard stories about their involvement with the movie. Wasn't that great? But at the end of the day, I don't think there's anything you can do to change the original or improve upon it or change my opinion on it. So
That's great. I just hope that they don't get bogged down by the need for spectacle, you know,
yes,
or like special exactly. effects, anything like that. Like you get, I've seen the promo picture of Appa, and he's like over like the frozen water, and he's like this like giant hairy beast. And like, I mean, like Appa's, you know, cute, you know, it's like a giant, it's like a giant cow, you know, like he's cute enough. But like, I'm not really super convinced with like effects in any show. I just like, I don't know. I feel like that's like always an idea that big shows have, is like, we need to wow people with like amazing visuals. But if it doesn't work well, it's like the first mistake. It's like the first thing that people will notice. So
yeah,
I think something I'd like to see different with this is like, and first, something I think I hope they don't do is try to make bending this huge deal, like how they do in the Shyamalan movie, where it's like bending is like this whole ritual of like, we're in a line of three and we're all doing the same thing. It's like, no one wants to see that. Like, that's not fun. That's not interesting. I hope they appreciate the world more in the live action. I'd like, if anything, I'd like to see kind of like a Game of Thrones approach, where there's lots of moving pieces and there's lots of different people all going on at the same time. And I think that would give more focus to the part of Avatar that I like the most, which is like the conflict between the different nations, like Earth Kingdom versus Fire Nation. Like, what does that look like on a grander scale than like what we kind of see with Avatar, The Last Airbender? We see a kids show perspective of a global war conflict, and it's all from Team Avatar's point of view. And like, sure, we get the Ba Sing Se, and like book three is this huge, huge deal where like the scale couldn't be bigger. But leading up to that, like there's so many characters that we meet throughout the show that I'd like to just see more of. You know, like, I'd like to see them give Jet a shot. Like, maybe show Jet and his crew before they meet Team Avatar, like, a little bit. You know, like, just going back and forth, hopping back and forth, which they do in the animated show, admittedly. But I just want to see more. I want to see more towns, more different people, kind of just show the spectrum of characters in the world. Cool.
I hope the characters are lifelike, unlike the movie. They just like stripped all the humor and character and all the reasons that I like the characters. So I hope they keep
that. I also hope they cast them well. Like, one, like paying attention to like most likely what race they would be based on the cultures that the whole entire show is based off of. And second, that they're not like 20-year-olds playing 12-year-olds, like the Percy Jackson movies were. And I really hope that they don't make the whole Katara Aang thing worse than it is, you know, like more awkward. It's not bad by any means, but I just feel just a little bit uncomfortable with like 12-year-olds kissing, you know? So I hope they just don't make it any worse.
Yeah, for the live action show, I would just really hate it if they made them all like too serious and stuff. Kind of like what Tristan was saying. Like, I want it to be like still fun and upbeat, because like that's just who they are, especially like Aang and stuff. Like, I don't want a little, I'm so serious. No. You gotta.
I think it's so funny looking at the original Shyamalan movie, and like, I don't think they could have cast it worse. I think it's like the worst it could possibly be. I love it for that, because it's like,
didn't they just cast Aang because he like knew martial arts?
Yeah,
like, I don't think he could act at all. They're just like, oh, you can do.
Oh, he cannot act. It's so bad.
I remember being so excited for this movie, and I looked at the cast list, and I saw the guy who played Sokka was in the Twilight movies, and I was like, oh, this is not going to be good at all.
I don't even remember.
He's one of the vampires. He's like the twins. He's one half of the twins that, like, love each other in the vampire family. Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Twilight's a weird batch, but
Twilight, I watched it for the first time recently, and it's fun. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I watched all five over two nights with a friend. That was something.
Ashley's got power. Let there be light.
Hey.
Ask for Appa, and Appa gives light. Great. Well, that was a great discussion. Now let's move on to the story's finale. We get to the bread and butter, what I think many would consider Avatar's best moments. At least I do. Book three. We get some of the most high scale action, the most satisfying conclusions. So let's just talk through book three. What are some big moments that you think need to be seen, need to be noted, and would hopefully appear in the live action remake? I know for me, the one episode that sticks with me the most, at this point, Zuko has decided to help Team Avatar to an extent. He's trying to redeem himself, but I just think it's so funny because it's like his arc. Everyone always talks about Zuko's arc. It's like, it's such like a buzzword. It's like, oh, Zuko arc, it's so perfect. It is perfect, but it's just, I think it's, this part is so funny because we see Zuko at his like most troubled, his most angsty in book one. I love book one Zuko. Book two Zuko, we see like the really struggle of him and Iroh trying to like find out like, hey, what do we actually want? And then inevitably Zuko's betrayal of Iroh near the end of book two, which is like the lowest low he could have ever done. I would have accepted Zuko. It's like, okay, I need to hunt the Avatar. I can't have a normal life. I think that would have been like a dip, but the fact that he betrays Iroh outright is like such a low. And I think that kind of like horrible decision is why this ending of book, this is like middle part of book three where Zuko's like, hey, I want to be friends with Team Avatar, is just like, it's so, it's like, it's really good, but it's just kind of funny because it's like he's so hopeless that he needs to like find friends.
I know.
I love it.
All of the dialogue with him like prepping himself, you know, it's like, so why am I so bad at being good? And he does the whole Azula versus Iroh approach, and then he just says Zuko here, and I it's just so good. It's so I love it.
He's so pure. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is when he and Aang go to the dragon temple, I don't really know what that place was called. It's kind of like an Aztec environment, which I always think is cool artistically. I like that environment. And they go there and like there's booby traps and it's like this huge area that's like totally abandoned. But lo and behold, there's like a lost civilization there that like is keeping the dragon secret. I love that episode because I love the Aang and Zuko alone and like kind of them working together finally is really interesting. To show that they're like, they're more similar than dissimilar, I think, in a way. It's like they both are equally matched. They're just kids after all. Like they like being around peers. They like working together as a team. Like who wouldn't? Because they're both awesome. And then the fact that it ends with like the dragon dance and it's like this super majestic moment. I love it. I love it. Tristan, what are some things from book three you like?
I like book three a lot. It's got a similar structure to book one, where you have, in book three, there are two major events. You have the invasion and Sozin's Comet, and then the rest are filler episodes, but they're filler episodes with a purpose. Like, a lot of world building in the first half, where you have, like, bloodbending, and you have different, just how the Fire Nation interacts with each other, like the headband Footloose episode, or the town that Toph scams, And then the second half, you have a bunch of the Zuko field trip. Zuko field trips. I'm still getting feedback, so I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I love the Zuko field trips because they expand Zuko as a character to get him to his more redeemed self. And it also gives him a chance to interact with the gang and become a part of the gang. So I love it. And then the two big events are indescribable because they're so great. The moment when Zuko confronts his father to leave the Fire Nation is probably one of my favorite moments in the whole series. And then just the 4-episode conclusion is like, again, indescribable. I just love it so much. It's a great, great finale to the show.
Great, great. Well put. Libby, what about you?
Okay, so admittedly, I haven't watched book 3 like yet since I did like a few years ago because I just didn't have time. But I watched I watched 16 episodes yesterday. I was going through, I was like, I'm finishing book 2. We're going through. But what I remember is still like, you know, what happens. I just think it's really interesting that like we get to see the Fire Nation because before, I mean, we saw it through like flashbacks from like Zuko's life and stuff. But I think it's so cool that it's like the rest of Team Avatar, like the Fire Nation was a big mystery to them. They didn't even have detailed maps about it. And like now we get to like see like what's actually going on because they're on, so far they've been on like the winning side of the war. And it's like, what's life like for these regular people there? It's just, I thought it was really cool that like we get to see that, but also like the high stakes leading up to it. And Ember Island players, can we just talk about that? That I want to see in the remake too. Like let's get really, really meta here and let's do that again.
So good. It reminds me of it must have been Thor Ragnarok. What, you know, the MCU movie where it's the very beginning of the movie, they have like a really short play of like retelling Thor the Dark World, which I just think is so funny because like for many reasons, but it reminds me of that. It's like really humorous to simplify such a dramatic story into like a show. I think it's so great.
If we could get Taika Waititi to direct episodes of this live action remake, it would be perfect. That would be amazing.
I'd probably cry.
get the whole Mandalorian crew. You got Taika Waititi is like an amazing director for the MCU in a couple instances. You have Dave Filoni, is that his name?
Yeah.
Who directed a ton of Avatar episodes. Mm-hmm. Everyone there. I loved it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great. Ashley, book 3.
Oh, I just love it. There's like, you guys pretty much covered all the bases. I don't know. I love it so much. There's so much there's so many high stakes in terms of like plot, character development. Even in those so-called filler episodes, I just love everything, you know? I love, especially for some reason, them being in enemy territory and what they have to do, because basically they've just been going around, like, basically anonymous up until this point, until they reached the Earth Kingdom, and now they're kind of like in the espionage, kind of spy territory, you know? And I really like that. It's really fun. Plus, everybody in the Fire Nation garb is really fun. I love those outfits. They're so cool. And everything else you guys basically covered. I love the beach. Such a good episode. Mm-hmm. And Sokka's master, where he gets the sword.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if a lot of people like that episode, but I really like that episode. It's very good.
I just love Sokka's... Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead, Libby, please.
I just love Sokka's development overall because he's like the only main character that's not a bender, and I love how it shows like you don't have to be a bender to be important.
Yeah.
And so I love everything that he does like as a warrior because he's always wanted to like be a warrior. I love him.
That reminds me of that moment where they're all together and then he starts listing off all the elements have, and then he's like fan and sword. So good.
I love it. Team Avatar is perfect.
Team Avatar.
Can we please give some respect to the true star of the show, Aang's haircut in book three, which as if you can see in the video, I've based my own haircut off of. I think I'm getting close to it. But I just, it is funny comment, but I love their costumes in book three. Fire Nation garb is awesome. I love it. I love when Aang goes to school too. Like classic filler episode, but like it's so funny to see like what's Aang's conception of what the Fire Nation is like from 100 years ago to now is just perfect. It's comedy gold.
It also plays into like the political side of it, like how empires like basically like erase history and brainwash their own citizens too, you know? And I also like the Painted Lady for that reason, because it doesn't just show that everybody in the Fire Nation is like at the same level as everybody in basically the capital city. Like they're hurting their own people as a effect of this war, you know, but they're kind of just cast off to the side, which I think is a very interesting thing that they could cover in a children's show, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Great. I think we've covered the whole story of Avatar The Last Airbender. We briefly touched on the finale. If you haven't watched Avatar and you listened to this episode or you watched it, please go watch it. It's one of the best drawn shows you'll watch, one of the best stories you'll hear. And the finale is just like the apex of that. It is the culmination of like perfect 2D animation and just amazing stakes. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful finale. Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we've got the summary. We've told the story we all know and love. I think it'd be fun to go back into it and now use our powers of ranking things and rating things that we love to decide, for once and for all, the book order. Not like obviously 1, 2, 3 is chronological, but like the book order of like superior to less superior, and then also maybe a little championship of favorite characters, because I think what is Avatar known for, the story arcs of each book, so well told, so well shown, but then also the characters, because we get so many characters that come in, stay along, die maybe from rocks a couple times. So let's deliberate. Let's brainstorm. What do we think is the best book of Avatar? And maybe it's too daunting to decide right now which one's the top. Let's start with the bottom. Which book? Obviously, they're all perfect. Tristan, I know I'm looking at you. They're all perfect. I'm sorry if this is like giving you a hernia. They're all perfect. But let's think. Okay, which book maybe misses the mark, or is it just like it's a classic bottom option? It's a classic bottom is what I'm looking for right now. What do we think?
Book one.
Mm-hmm. Just a little too kiddie at start.
Yeah. I it's mostly because of the, you know, the real plot doesn't get really going until book two and three. I mean, I still love book one, but it is like 70% filler.
And like not great filler, to say like book three is great filler and then book one is like the great divide. It's like I don't really
I don't know though. There's a lot of episodes I really loved in the first season though too. Like, you know, there's some that are like eh, but there's a lot that I just like more than just liked. Like, yeah, I just really loved. So it's hard for me to balance that out.
It's hard. I gotta say, book one is probably some of my most favorite episodes, like the Spirit World episodes. I think the finale of book one is just awesome. It's just like spectacular. Ashley, what do you think? Can you agree that book one is probably the bottom? Just because it's a classic beginning tale. Yeah. Do you agree with that? Probably. Are we all in agreement? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I didn't decide, but I'll go.
I think I can speak for everyone when I say that book one.
I think we all know that book one.
I think we all can sing, but most of all, we all agree that book one is the worst. Fantastic.
I guess the logical conclusion then would be 1, 2, 3, wouldn't it?
Do you think?
What are
book two's merits, do you think? Tristan, what are some of book two's merits? Libby, what do you like about book two?
You can go ahead.
please speak at the same time.
We just keep looking at each other in the same room. I mean, it's just the plot. Like, we get so much deeper into it, and I don't know specifically. I might even put it at the bottom compared to season one, if I may speak out of turn here, you know. Wow. Like, kind of defy the odds.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, it's hard though, because none of them are bad. They're all so good. It's like, even when one's at the bottom, it's not really the bottom. It's still like way up here.
Yeah.
There's no bottom here.
Can I piggyback off of you, Libby? I actually do agree. I think two is probably my least favorite book. I may have jumped the gun in assuming that we all thought that it just always gets better.
We're just going with the crowd, right?
Yeah.
You got to think your own thoughts here.
Classic Zoom group think, where it's just, you want to avoid talking and just like nod as much as possible.
Put yourself on mute and just...
Put yourself on mute, just like nod. I just think book two is a little less memorable. All I remember from book two, I haven't watched it super recently. Tristan, the last time I watched it was with you. Mm-hmm. I watched a little bit of book one, just try to get re-familiarized with this. The most thing I remember about book two is just it being long. Obviously, Appa's Lost Days is a great episode. I think Ba Sing Se's arc is really great. But it doesn't really vibe. You get that? You get that energy? It's like... Am I crazy?
You say it's long, but I remember watching book one as a kid, and every week I would be like, why aren't they at the North Pole yet? Why can't they fly a little bit faster?
That's fair.
It's very fair. What do you think, Ashley?
Sorry.
No, please, Tristan, please.
Book two, I would say, is middle, because I love everything from when Toph is introduced onward. Because you have Toph introduced, and then the next episode is Zuko alone, which is probably my favorite episode of the whole series. And then Appa gets kidnapped, and then there's the hunt for Appa. But then I just remember, like, the Serpent's Pass and the drill, and... The first five episodes of book two are kind of slow, so maybe.
there's a discrepancy, you know, like, yes. Book one and book two have like the kind of the same pros cons, yes. But obviously very little cons. The show, like, yeah. I said, is there's nothing wrong with it. But do we all agree then that maybe book three is the best? Is that a common statement? Libby, you seem perturbed.
I just wish I could have like watched it before this again to like refresh. But even just thinking about it now, I'm like, I am so pumped. Like, when we're done, I'm gonna just chug on through. I can't wait to like watch it again. I'm so excited.
I'll honestly probably rewatch book three, because I like that energy the most. It's very fast paced. Mm-hmm. I like that. Great. Well, I think we've spoken enough about books against each other. Ideally, you would not like watch only one book. Yeah. You would watch like the whole show.
It feels like pitting children against each other, like your own children.
Yeah, it's very hard. It's very hard. Although everyone does have an internal favorite, but it's hard to articulate. It's like, mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, very good, very
this
good.
This is the favorite child.
This is the favorite child. This is my favorite book. Okay. Well, let's have something, a moment that I think we can talk about. Favorite characters. Who's a character that stands out as you think is the best character of Avatar The Last Airbender? And I want you to consider a couple things. I want you to consider on-screen acting. I suppose. I know it's drawn, but like, are they like an idiot or are they like interesting? That's kind of the deliberation. Like, I'm no one's gonna say the bow and arrow kid from Jet's Crew is the best character because it's like,
I'll speak for yourself.
So
long shot. Like, oh my god, that's what I was gonna say.
But also like arc, but like influence, kind of just like who's your biggest takeaway? Who do you gravitate towards the most, I would say? Let's start with Libby. I'm putting a lot of pressure on Libby. Libby, who is your favorite character of Avatar The Last Airbender?
I don't like to pick favorites. And it's probably between two that I just really like. I just really love Sokka and Zuko.
Okay.
There we are.
But is there a reason why? Please explain.
Well, I mean, Zuko, it's pretty hard to not have him as at least like a favorite. Just, you know, everyone talks about his arc and like it's just, it's so good. I don't know how, I'm bad at talking. No, I don't know.
We totally agree with you there. I think Zuko is a obvious standout in the show. Just because
I don't trust you if you don't like Zuko.
Yeah. But with Sokka, I love how like he's so funny, but like he grows a lot too. Like at the beginning he's kind of not really an asshole, I would say, but like
a bit sexist.
Yeah. And I just like how he gets puts in his place a few times, and like he grows. And again, I just love the fact that he's not a bender, but he like is so important to like the Team Avatar. And like I just always really liked him. Like I'm just, anytime he's on, I'm like, yeah.
Very good. That's great. That's great.
Funny too.
Ashley, what do you think? Who's your favorite character or characters?
Well, obviously Zuko and Sokka. I honestly, you can't not say them. But I love Iroh too. I just, such a good character, such a wholesome man. And just to think that like he spent his life as like a general in a war, like an imperialist nation, and now he's just this cool dude who likes to drink tea and is trying to help his nephew do better in life, you know? And I love him. He's such a balanced person, you know? He appreciates all forms of bending and every person you run into. And I wish I could just shake his hand, say thank you, you know? I love him so much.
I like that. Ashley, I totally agree with you. You stole my answer, damn it. Iroh for me is probably like the closest to my heart. I love Iroh probably the most. He and Zuko, who are like Team Fire Nation, Team Exile, I guess you could call
Team
them.
Team Exile.
they're probably my total favorites. I'm a sucker for strong, aggressive male characters who like have to struggle with like emotionality and like vulnerability versus like total outright success and like aggressiveness. I mean, I'm the only person I know who like loved every minute of The Irishman, and like, so it's like stuff like that. I'm into it. I like it. It's not for everybody. So like Iroh himself is my favorite, because I totally agree with you, Ashley, to have such a like such a character who had like such a violent history, and to be so like militaristic and such a like a strong leader for this like oppressive government and kingdom, the Fire Nation, to go from that to like a retiree who's like just drinking tea and playing board games, I think is so is just so funny.
Protecting the Avatar and the White Lotus.
Yeah, and it's not like he's like some like senile old man or like just like super passive and like, oh, I just want to drink tea. It's like that the episode where he gets kidnapped by the Earth Kingdom in book one, where Zuko, we talked about earlier, Zuko has to choose between tracking Iroh and trying to help him or tracking the Avatar. He as soon as the Earth people come up, he's like, he's back in the mindset that he was in when he was a younger man, where it's like, these are my enemies. And I just think that's such an interesting psychology of like soldiers in war and leaving that war, of like, how do you look at those people without feeling some sort of like defensiveness, which I think we see with Iroh. I love those kinds of characters.
I like it too because he isn't like, he isn't quick to violence. Even though he has that violent past, he's very smart about everything, and he's joking along with them as he's like a superhero, you know, like Spider-Man, just cracking jokes with them, and he's trying to not hurt them, you know, he's just trying to weasel his way out of custody, mm-hmm. I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a great character.
Mm-hmm.
Tristan, let's wrap it up our discussion on characters. Who is your favorite Avatar character?
I guess my opinion goes Jet.
Seriously?
All right.
Sorry. Jet's the very bottom.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the clarification. The bottom starts here, and then everyone else is like...
then you got some fun background characters, like
yes,
Elf Guy and yeah. Cabbage Man.
Cabbage Man.
And then everybody else, and then Zuko.
Perfect. A perfect
basically.
Description.
Yeah. When you told us like to think of something to talk about, I was like, I got to think of something to talk about that's not Zuko, because I could talk about Zuko for days.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I would agree about Iroh, Sokka. I never hear a lot of people talk about how like Aang is their favorite, but I love Aang. I love mm-hmm. Katara. Toph. I wish Suki had more time.
Yes,
me too.
For like more character development there.
I love her.
Yeah, even the villains. Fire Lord Ozai doesn't have a lot of characterization, but I think that's fine because he's just supposed to be like a big bad villain. He doesn't have to have any characterization to make him scary.
Mm-hmm.
But Zuko, just all Zuko. I love Zuko.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I think we all agree Zuko is probably the best, if not one of the best. A question that just popped into my mind, in the later half of the show, we see glimpses into Roku's life, Avatar Roku, and the moment his best friend was like the leader of the Fire Nation of the time. Do you remember that character's name? It's like
Sozin.
Sozin? Yeah. Oh, because Sozin's common, of course.
Yeah.
And like we see like their relationship, and it's like I love the two of them together. I love Roku, such an awesome sort of mentor to Aang, in very small moments, but like throughout the show, because it's just so interesting to go from Roku to Aang, where it's like mm-hmm. almost complete opposites in a way, but they both are standing for similar things. I'm just wondering, I'm trying to get this clear in my head. Do we go from Sozin to Ozai, or like
no,
where's the descendants?
No, there's Azulon somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Azulon is Zuko's grandfather?
Grandfather, yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Also, it's so cool that Zuko and Aang are technically like they kind of have like a shared history, I guess, reincarnated related, I guess, because his mother is related to
Avatar Roku
mm-hmm. Roku, yeah.
Oh really? Oh, because Roku had kids, right?
Yeah
Okay,
so technically Aang is Zuko's great-grandfather.
Yeah. Technically.
I love it Very fun. I that's another thing I hope they do in the live action show. They show, I mean, like, I know it's the where we are in the present day, like 100 years after the fact, is like obviously really interesting. There's so much you could do there, but I think showing that those moments with Roku, kind of like the precursor up to the Fire Nation going into all that war, is really interesting to me. Just seeing like what does the Fire Nation look like before Sozin, and like how does Sozin rally the Fire Nation into this like full out like dictatorship, full out like we need to conquer the world. It's just really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I want to recommend a book real quick. If you guys haven't read Rise of Kyoshi, it's like about how Kyoshi becomes the Avatar. And it's really interesting take on the world 300 years before the show starts. Mm-hmm. And okay. It's probably one of my favorite things in this universe is that book.
Really?
Mm-hmm. It was really good.
I didn't know they had books. I was ignorant.
Yeah. That's, they have that and then some comic books, but I've only read the Kiyoshi book. So.
Great. Very cool. Very cool. Well, thank you. I think the three of you and myself, we touched on a lot for Avatar. It was great talking to you guys about it. Obviously, I picked people that I thought loved the show and could speak on a lot of different things. You guys enjoyed yourselves?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great. Cool. Well, I think that's it. Thank you, everyone, for listening or watching The Warp Drive. It's been our pleasure to discuss Avatar The Last Airbender. If you're interested in Avatar, I had like a weird vocal slip. If you're interested in Avatar, watch it on Netflix. It's on Netflix right now. You should watch book one, go to the Shyamalan movie. It's also on Netflix. Then go back to book two and like have a totally cleansed palate where it's like, okay, book one is great. Shyamalan movie, blah. But then we're back to the good stuff. It's perfect. The perfect recipe for your total Avatar experience. That's just for me. That's just my recipe for it. Cool. Everyone hold up your appas if you have one and we'll say farewell to our audience. Thank you so much for watching. We have been to Warp Drive. Please, if you're watching this on YouTube, like and subscribe and we'll get back to you with another episode. Goodbye. Yay. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye, appa.